It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here on this post-Thanksgiving Saturday. Mike is on assignment. That assignment, I imagine, has something to do with hunting a deer, and we'll talk to him more about that on next week's show. But we're not going to talk about the deer today. We're not going to talk about the ducks today. Nah, we're not going to talk about the hogs today. We're not going to go fishing for trout on the causeway today. We're not going to go bass fishing today. We're going squirrel hunting today, and it's a real treat to do this show. I've been looking forward to this show for a couple weeks now. So I'll give you the backstory here. A friend of mine and I are riding back from our hunt in Colorado. And we're riding back from this mule deer hunt out there and get a lot of time to talk in the truck. And I knew my buddy Ross was a big squirrel hunter, ran squirrel dogs and loved squirrel hunting. But to be able to have, you know, his undivided attention for hours on end, I got to talk with him about squirrel hunting. And in that conversation, realized all the stuff I didn't know about squirrel hunting. I mean, squirrels for me, the first species I think that I really hunted as a kid. And I'm sorry to neighbors on both sides of our house and the vacant lot down the street and the people that were in Municipal Park with their children. But I hunted squirrels a lot when I was a kid. But like many people, since then, I have not spent as much time hunting squirrels as I did when I was younger. But you look at this, what a great game species. You know, you think about seasons. Liberal bag limit, 8. You can kill 8 a day. September 15th through March 3rd, something like that for the season. And a long season, and something that you can hunt many different ways in many different places, get yourself out, get friends out, get children out, and get them involved in the outdoors. And that's why it's exciting to talk about the mighty eastern gray squirrel with my buddy Ross Odom. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sean.
And so I'm looking at some of the stats. As we talk about deer populations and people, oh, well, you know, their deer numbers are 800,000 in this state, and they're, there's 1.6 million deer in this zone. There's like tens upon tens upon tens of millions of squirrels in the United States. The population's
right.
Huge.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, depending on habitat and all that stuff, those numbers fluctuate from region to region.
Right.
But it does provide a lot of opportunity for, you know, all ages.
Yeah.
But it's a good way to get youngsters involved and in general, kind of, you know, create an opportunity for them not to, sit there in a deer stand for hours and be bored and lose interest.
Right. So. I mean, we're both dads, gone through this with our kids, getting them into the outdoors. And sometimes what dad wants to do, to run out there and sit and wait for a big buck and quiet for hours on end, not seeing anything. In the kids' world, they have no expectation that the deer is ever going to walk out. They get bored.
That's right.
Squirrel hunting, you're moving, you're doing things.
Oh, yeah. And depending on which, which method you use to pursue them. Obviously, if you've got kids involved, you want to, kind of keep them moving and focused on what you're doing. So that, that kind of provides more of an opportunity to get them
sure
involved.
You see critters, you get to shoot at critters, right?
That's right.
That's, listen, you can go, if you're hunting for a big buck or something like that, your kids go with you and it might not happen a whole season.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to think, we talk about this all the time, recruiting youth to hunting. I think squirrel hunting has got to be great, but also you've rekindled in me an adult interest in this, and this is why I'm so happy to have you on the show. I talked about shooting the poor squirrels in the neighborhood when I was a kid starting off. How did you start off squirrel hunting?
That was at a young age, I'd say 7 or 8. Dad used to take us, we'd go out in the woods and get there before daylight and, find a good oak tree and rake the leaves back, and sit there and wait on it to break, break day. And then, we'd find a squirrel coming down and put a little stalk on him if he wasn't close enough. But, most of the time we would just sit there until something, was close enough that we could actively pursue.
Right.
And, obviously you have to. We have to be quiet.
Yes.
It teaches you a lot of,
Right. You're talking about being quiet and stalking, and that teaches the fundamentals of what becomes whether they're turkey hunting, deer hunting, or whatever down the road.
Right. Yeah. It leads into other forms of hunting and woodsmanship. But it's just, it's a great way to start kids off. And, I've enjoyed it my whole life. you know, it's even more fun now to see my kids get excited about it and get involved. So, you know, that's something that anybody can do.
And I do want to get into that, too, because we talk about opportunity for – not everybody has big tracts of private land. They may not be in a hunting club. But Alabama, with the public land we have here, you can find somewhere to go squirrel hunting.
Oh, yeah, and you don't have to have all the fancy gear or the latest and greatest. You know, hunting's become so commercialized on the deer hunting end, especially because that's what, you know, seems to be
– Yeah, that drives the dollars.
Right.
Yeah, you're right, because you feel like if you're going to deer hunt, you need this kind of stand. You got to have this kind of scent blocking, you know, gear on. You've got to have this rifle or bow. You've got to have this stand. You got to have all these things. Somebody who's listening to us right now, if they have a gun and have a pair of drab colored clothing, you know, they can go squirrel hunting.
Oh yeah, it's as basic form of hunting as you can get into. You know, and starting out, I mean, anybody could, you know, outfit themselves for, you know, relatively inexpensive.
Right.
You know, you probably already got the stuff.
Right.
Home.
If you already got a gun, you know, you got a .22 or you got a shotgun, you're halfway there.
That's right.
Let's talk about that. Your early experiences sitting by the tree. Were y'all toting shotguns or toting .22?
Single shot 20 gauge, actually.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I've got one there. I got a Winchester, Dad. Yeah, Winchester 20 gauge full choke squirrel hunting machine.
There you go.
So pretty simple firearm you're using to hunt squirrels.
Yeah, no, you know. You don't have to have frills involved.
You don't have to have the latest semi-auto to go hunt squirrels.
That's right. Single bead, just put it on there, pull the hammer back, and let her fly.
Let's talk about this. So you hunt a bunch of different areas, and we're going to get into all the different ways you hunt. But your favorite woods mix. Now, Alabama's got a bunch of different woods mix, from pine plantations to straight hardwood bottomland, and right. A lot of things in between. Do you have a favorite? Like, if you're looking and you go, that section of wood, that should be good squirrel woods. What do you call squirrel woods?
Well, I think, you know, during the squirrel season, obviously they've transitioned over to hard mast, which is acorns and,
right.
You know, hickory nuts and stuff like that. So
so you're looking for hardwoods?
For the most part, yes.
Okay.
You know, those old 100-year-old oak tree forests mm-hmm. are, you know, rapidly disappearing
yes,
in our
are.
State. So, but if you can find that, you know, and it can be even a mixture of hardwoods. It doesn't have to be just an oak flat or anything like that, but you know, that's my preferred wintertime.
Right, because you mentioned this too, and it's like anything, if we're talking about deer or turkeys or whatever, they've got different things they're utilizing for food year round. It's not one thing. I mean, Lord knows they couldn't be on acorns for the whole year.
Oh, yeah, no. Whether they're not available all year. I mean, they'll store them as long as they last, but, you know, as competition for food increases and habitat decreases, those resources will be depleted more rapidly. So, you know, squirrels will. From the summer, they'll transition. I mean, they'll eat mushrooms, soft berries, all kind of stuff into the early fall of pine cones and stuff like that. And then when the acorns start falling, you know, they put those up for winter and, you know, eat what they can and store the rest. So.
Yeah, and sometimes I think they forget where they stored them.
The
forest
sure
is happy about that.
Sure
they plant a lot of oak trees out there.
Oh, yeah, they probably get robbed and all that stuff by other squirrels and, you know, other, you know, just every a lot of game eats acorns.
Right.
You know, so they have to be pretty creative in where and how they store them to keep, you know, to keep somebody from or another animal from taking their stash.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So we're going to have some component of hardwoods this time of year in what we're hunting. Anything on thick versus, not to nerd out with basal density, but I mean, is it thick woods, open woods? Is there one or medium? You see that squirrels prefer one more than the other?
Well, I think squirrels actively, depends on how you're trying to hunt.
That's, okay.
You know, gray squirrels is the primary target for most people, and there's three squirrels in the state of Alabama, basically.
Okay, we got the eastern gray squirrel, we have
southern flying squirrel,
right?
Which most people don't
not hunting.
No, not hunting that one.
I had one as a pet when I was a kid. Yeah.
There you go. And then the fox squirrel, which is a little bigger, and they do overlap into some of the same habitat, but they prefer more open upland.
Yeah, I've seen them more in pine or pine oak transition.
They typically stay on the ground more than gray squirrels.
Right.
Gray squirrels are, you know, treetop,
which would make sense. They want more open because they spend more time. They need to see predators coming. Right.
Yeah. You know, back to the question as to what woods, the gray squirrel will stir more on the ground if he's got cover,
okay,
ground cover. And that, you know, that hides him from predators, hawks, owls, you know, anything that could catch him out of his nest or out of his den.
So it's So the idea of having some ground cover is a benefit for a gray squirrel.
Yes.
See, and that's something that, you know, people think, oh yeah, the squirrel's going to be in this wide open, because they see them in the park or whatever. But in nature, in the wild,
they typically stay closer to nests and dens and open hardwood timber. Now, they will get out on the ground and search for food and stuff like that. But if you have a certain amount of ground cover, low ground cover, that they can hide, they'll get further away from the nest and search for food.
I love these kind of tips. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about this, because when they get down and hit the ground, I mean, that's one thing for somebody sitting by a tree, but another one for a man like you that runs squirrel dogs, as they get down and put some scent on the ground, what that means. Yeah, the many ways to hunt squirrels in Alabama, and one of those real fun ways is behind dogs. We'll talk more about that with Ross Odom when we come back right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Remember, your pictures, your comments, questions, all welcome over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here on this post-Thanksgiving Saturday. Well, football game today as well. Talk about that next week on the show. A real treat, too. And if you just joining the show here, I mentioned in the first segment. So a buddy of mine were out in Colorado mule deer hunting and had that 24-hour-plus ride back from Colorado. And I got to spend some time talking to my friend Ross Odom about squirrel hunting and realized how much I had gotten away from squirrel hunting and didn't think about it. And in a conversation over hours with him, really re-engaged me for two reasons. Number one, making sure my children take part in it. You know, there's so many of us that just move the children straight to deer hunting and don't even stop at small game, but also rekindled my interest as an adult hunter in squirrel hunting. So it's great to have you on the show and talking squirrels. So thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, let's talk about we talked about different kind of woods. And that was, I think, one of the takeaways I've already thought about, is this idea that if there's some thickness on the ground, that's actually not a bad thing for gray squirrels.
No, it's not. Like I said, it just gives them some cover to feel secure enough to move far away from the nest and, you know, in search for food without being, you know, harassed by predators. Or
because everything's trying – there's lots of stuff trying to eat a squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
from above, from down below.
That's right. You know, us included. Yes. So, you know, they're smart little critters. They can find a way to get away from you. So
it's amazing. Any of us that have, you know, seen a squirrel go up a tree and walked up that tree, and those jokers disappear. Of course, they go around the back or whatever. But you're like, he's somewhere, y'all. He's in this tree. It isn't a big tree, and you don't see him.
Oh yeah, they blend in,
you
real
know,
well.
They know how to stay out of sight. But one way to find them and put them up a tree, and that is with dogs.
That's right.
Running squirrel dogs. So this is something that in my conversation with you, number one, just talk about the excitement of running squirrel dogs, and then learn a lot from you about the different sizes and different kinds of squirrel dogs. I was ignorant to it. So, I mean, walk us through this. When did you start squirrel hunting with dogs?
Well, you know, on up in my adult life, probably more so than as a kid, because, you know, as a kid, we just walked around and stalked them and,
right,
you know, sat there until one started moving. But the more I got involved in it, the more I went with a buddy that had a squirrel dog, and he was just, you know, tree one right after the other, and it was just fast paced, stay moving.
Right.
You know, it was, you know, something that really kind of stuck with me. So I've been doing it for now about 25 years.
Wow.
And, but, you know, there's several different type of dogs. I think, you know, different people enjoy different type of hunting.
When you say that, you and I talked about this, but different size of dogs, and we'll talk about some of those standards there, but different types of hunting. In other words, is it slower pace versus faster pace? Is it different cover? How would somebody in the world of figuring out the squirrel dog for them, what questions should they ask?
Well, you know, a lot of it would be depending on what type of woods you hunted.
Okay.
If you hunted smaller tracks, you wouldn't need a big 60-pound hound dog.
That ranges out. Yeah.
That was going to, you know, run out of your block of woods onto somebody else.
Right.
And, you know, be trespassing.
Right.
But, you know, I think a lot of it depends on, I would recommend from my experience, is go with someone who has dogs before you, you know.
Right.
Just
test drive.
Go out and get your own. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and there are variants within all breeds, but they're three basic types.
Okay.
I mean, they're Feists, which are smaller built dogs, you know, up to a certain height. They're normally, you know, 15, 20-pound dogs.
Is that what we picture with a lot of, like, rat terriers or those size dogs? Maybe not specifically that right. breed, but that size dog?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, normally they'll be about
That's
the
a
rat
feist.
Terrier size. That's a feist.
Okay.
You know, and they'll rarely exceed 20, 25 pounds as a big
okay.
on the end of a feist.
So those are smaller end. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, typically, you know, feist are more of a – I mean, they'll use their eyes, ears, nose. They're more of a sight tree and dog with the ability to scent tree.
Okay.
You know, they use all of their senses.
Yeah, I guess we should back up for a second on that and talk about how, when you're hunting with dogs, how they are finding the squirrels and putting them up a tree. I mean, you mentioned sight and sound. I mean, sight and smell, right?
Right.
So, I mean, there's actually dogs putting their nose on the ground and smelling where a squirrel's been.
Oh yeah, that's typically what you would expect a dog to do.
Okay.
You know, obviously, as they grow and progress and learn how to do that and run a track,
mm-hmm.
basically is what
right.
Most dog hunters.
So they're coming through the woods like a deer dog would or whatever, and they're smelling where that squirrel's been, and they're picking up and figuring out which way that squirrel went.
Right. Yeah, direction is important.
And that's always blown my mind in dogs, how they can get on that track and go, okay, he went that way.
Right.
And they do that and they get on, that's called getting on the track. Right?
Yeah, basically, you know, there's several different styles of dogs, like I said, feist, curs. Most people use curs, mountain curs,
okay.
black mouth curs.
Okay. That's the next size up from feist?
It would be a larger type dog. The mountain
okay.
curs on the smaller end, probably. Most black mouth curs may be on the large end for a cur.
Okay.
And I'm saying anywhere from 25 to, you know, even 60 pounds on some of the larger.
Okay, so pretty big, 60 pound, pretty big dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a big gap in that, depending on what
right.
kind of cur it is.
Right.
There's a big gap in that
but
size range.
Okay, but those are defined as curs. So feist for the small ones. Now we're into curs.
Right.
And then you said there's one bigger than that?
Well, some people even use hounds. They'll use...
Like same size, like a deer hound size dog?
Yeah, walkers, blue ticks. Most of the tree and type hounds will transition over to squirrels if that's what you... you know, allow them to do.
If you focus them on that scent.
Yeah, you can. Some of them are just naturals. I mean, they, you know, a lot of the, some of the coon hunters
right.
have dogs that like squirrels. I mean, they'll tree squirrels at night, and that's, you know, kind of frowned upon
right.
in the competition circuit because.
But you need to get with those people if they have a washout from the coon circuit because he's all about squirrels.
I know some guys that have, you know, purchased dogs for that, you know, that very reason.
If you hear a coon squirrels. Hunter complaining about his dog always running squirrels, you're like, I'd cut you a deal on that dog.
And some of them just like squirrels, you know, better naturally. Primarily
right.
coon dogs, you know, would be, you would think.
Yeah, they got the nose. But, I mean, you mentioned the scent, but you also mentioned visual. So there's a sight aspect to some of these things too, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I think to have a complete squirrel dog of any breed, you would want it to use all of its senses.
Right. You mentioned that to me in the truck when we were riding. You said that a couple times, a complete squirrel dog. Okay, so what completes a squirrel dog?
Well, most people call it a finished dog.
Okay.
One that would obviously be able to tree a squirrel on a good day versus a bad day. Consistency is the key for the
okay.
most part. Doesn't run off game like deer or, you know.
That's broken from
yeah.
the other things.
Primarily squirrel dogs are, you know, tree-minded
right.
critters. But, you know, the thing about what makes a dog finished is being able to use all of his senses and tree game consistently in any condition.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not saying they're going to go out there and tree every squirrel in the woods every time you turn them loose. That's,
right.
That's not going to happen with any dog.
Right.
But, you know, the consistency part of it from, you know, knowing you'll be able to go hunting and have a chance at killing squirrels with
right.
this dog. Versus
that's that finished dog. Because there could be some, what I'm getting at is, so there could be a dog that's really good on scent but needs to work on visual, right? Or one that doesn't put its nose to the ground and is looking, maybe needs to work more on scenting.
Right. You know, and they're, like I said, they're depending on what type of dog it is, it may focus on, it may use
okay.
one of its senses more
or
than
some
the other.
Dogs have a more proclivity to be sight and more have a proclivity to be smell?
I think there are examples in every breed of sight tree and dogs versus scent tree and dogs.
Okay.
You know, it varies from dog to dog, individual,
sure.
more so than breed specific. But, you know, most, when you think about using a dog, you think about it's going to use its nose to go out there and find game.
Mm-hmm.
But for it to be a complete squirrel dog, a finished squirrel dog, you would want it to be able to, you know, obviously if the squirrels aren't in the ground, they're up in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Some dogs can, but some dogs might not smell them, so you'd want one to be able to locate.
Put a nose up in the air and try to smell them.
Well, that's called winding. If you can wind them without, you know, those squirrels hitting the ground, that's great. But some dogs just don't have the capability to do that, so they would rely more on their eyes on the day that the squirrels, you know, aren't on the ground.
Didn't hit the ground. Okay, so that's that idea of a finished dog. Like you said, given most days you put the dog on the ground, they're going to figure out a way to identify where the squirrel is.
That's right.
What do they do here? If people have not squirrel hunted before with a dog, how's the game played? The dog's turned out. It goes and finds a squirrel. What happens? It runs them up a tree? Does it bark to let you know? How does that work?
Well, you know, typically when you turn the dog loose, it's hunting for you. So, you know, some dogs you just unsnap them and let them go until the tree. Some of them you have to walk and, you know, come across a squirrel track, depending on what type of dog you have.
It's basically
how you would hunt.
Okay, and that's what you were talking about earlier. Somebody who had just small blocks of land to hunt versus bigger tracks, that's one of the reasons you might pick one dog over another.
That's correct.
Because, if you have the dog kind of not at heel but close to you, that's one thing versus a dog that's going to go out there at distance and find one. All right, just joining us, talking to my buddy Ross Odom, talking squirrel hunting here, and talking about the dog aspect to it as well. And come back from the break, we'll talk more about this. Also, I want to talk more about what time of the year is best. Squirrel season is long, y'all. We mentioned in the beginning, you have September through March to hunt squirrels. What time of the year does he like best? And what conditions? You know, you talk about scenting out there. To a bird dog guy like me, we obsess on, you know, conditions and humidity and scenting and all that. And we'll find out more from Ross when we return right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and glad to have you along. A real treat for me, too, getting to talk to one of my friends and getting to talk to a buddy about squirrel hunting. It was some hours in a truck that absolutely put me back on the pace of being excited about getting back out in the squirrel woods. And I'll tell you right now, when I hit the woods for youth season for deer hunting, I paid attention more than I had in a long time, and I've ID'd some spots that we're going to have to bring your dogs and turn them loose there around the farm.
Looking forward to it.
Got some squirrels that need hunting, and we're talking about dogs and hunting with dogs, and the three different sizes of dogs. You're running, what kind of dogs you run?
Well, I have mountain curs, but you know, we talked about the three primary types of squirrel dogs, but now it's
Fife, cur, and hound, right?
Primarily, okay. But it doesn't have to be that. I mean, there are a lot of farm dogs, well, tree squirrels, shepherd, and collie mixes have a tree inability.
People might have one in the backyard.
It could be just your backyard pet that's just run loose all his life and loves the tree squirrels. It doesn't have to be
Right. Yeah, you could get into it, just like we were saying, you could get into it with that single-shot 20-gauge. You could also, maybe you or kinfolk have a dog.
Right. He didn't have to have a pedigree of world champions to be a good, honest squirrel dog.
Yeah, if they can put squirrels in trees.
Right. I've seen Labrador retrievers and even a bulldog that...
Now, I got to see that. A bulldog.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. So the game is, they get on this track, they run the squirrel, they put the squirrel up the tree, watch some of your videos, dogs are barking.
Right.
That's the hey, yeah, come here, I got a squirrel?
Yeah. Primarily, my dogs don't bark on track. You know, they don't bark just at scent.
But like a
trail hound would.
Right.
Or something. But, you know, they bark when they tree game. You know, once they find the game and they've located it.
That's kind of convenient when you're walking through the woods and the dog will start barking. Now you know, okay, showtime.
Yeah. And, there's nothing more exciting than seeing the kid's face light up when the dog trees and, you know, start taking off to the tree to see if we can find the squirrel. So,
it's like seeing a dog on point, but you got to find that dog. In this case, you hear that bark and you can travel through thick woods to it, and you got a pretty good chance of something getting ready to happen.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, they're, you know, depending on what type of terrain and, you know, timber and all that stuff we're in, you know, if they're vines, you can shake the vines, make the squirrel move, and locate him that way.
Yeah, give me some of your techniques. I know you can't spill all the beans, but, I mean, like when you come up, your dog's there barking at the tree. So you know your dog's put a squirrel in that tree, but you don't see the squirrel.
Well, I'm looking the whole way in. You know, okay. The whole time the dog's barking under the tree, as I'm walking in, I'm looking in the treetops, surrounding
maybe
trees.
See that squirrel before they see you kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, I mean, the quicker you can locate it, the better your chances are of bagging that squirrel because, like I said, they're escape artists, you know, little acrobats.
Right.
So, they'll give the dog a slip, go in the next tree, you know, find a nest, get in a hole. So the sooner you can locate the squirrel, the better your chances are.
What about locating squirrels? This is a conversation we had that I didn't even – so much I don't know about this. There's different times of day you think it better. You like afternoons better than mornings, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, typically squirrels will range further away from the nest in the afternoon. You have a better chance of catching them on the ground.
Okay.
Then, you know, if you went out there at daylight and turned a dog loose, obviously they hadn't, you know, squirrels will come down at night.
Right.
But they typically don't.
But, I mean, what you're saying is important. I hadn't thought about it, but if the idea is that dog is going to hit a scent, that the more time and the more range of squirrels on the ground, the better chance you have of hitting that scent.
The further away you can catch him from the den or the nest, the better your chances of treeing him. And
I guess that's key too, right? Depending on what tree that squirrel goes up. If they go up their home tree, well, they got a nest, they got a place to hide.
Right.
If you can get them up you're trying to get them up some other tree other than their home tree.
Well, yeah, and you know, any time you tree them, you obviously got a chance of finding them. But if they've got a hole or hiding place or, you know, we don't shoot nests or anything like that. But, you know, typically mature timber around here will have some sort of vine or, you know, some way you can shake a bush next to it to make that squirrel move. Just make him just uneasy enough that he gives himself away.
Because, I mean, you know, we've seen this before, squirrels, whether you're in a backyard or in the woods. Those jokers are flattening themselves against a tree.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, let alone getting a hole or something, they flatten themselves against a tree. And if it's one person, y'all know this, you know that squirrel's there, and you walk around, you never see him. You have to get another person. Now you see that squirrel because he can't be on, he can't hide from both of you.
Right. And, you know, that's the reason we carry binoculars and stuff like that.
Wait a second. You carrying binocular glass with you, squirrel hunting?
Well, you know.
I like it. My eyes are failing me now. I could use that.
You want to, if my dog trees a squirrel, I want to, you know, give him every opportunity or myself every opportunity to find it.
Right.
You know, to kind of reward the dog, even though, you know, the dog's hunting for me.
What is their prey response when that squirrel hits the ground?
Well, are you talking about before the shot or after the shot?
No, after the shot. You shoot the squirrel. Squirrel comes falling out of the tree. Does that dog go? Because I'm trying to, in my mind, compare, you know, with bird dogs. I got a German short hair and quail hunt. She'll pick up a quail for a little bit of distance. The only reason she brings it back to me is force fetching. Because she's, at that point, the fun for her is finding the birds, and then she's done. I'm having to force that retrieve.
Yeah, the same holds true with squirrel dogs. Some will retrieve. You know, when the squirrel hits the ground, they'll bring it to you and then go tree the next one. Some of them will, you know, pick it up. Make sure that it's dead and drop it
off.
And go to the next, you know, tree.
So there is some prey response where they want to go see that dead critter and then move on.
Right. But, you know, from my experience, early on, starting young dogs, I think, you know, they have to see the end game to be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
They want that squirrel.
Yeah.
But, you know, a pat on the head for a good squirrel dog is enough. I've hunted my dogs a bunch and never shot the squirrel. Just let them tree the squirrel, see it, pat them on the head, tell them to go get another one, and they're right on to the next tree.
Now, this is exciting just talking about this. As you look at seasons of the – because, I mean, squirrel season, we just said it. Maybe September through March. Heck, we got fall, we got winter. In my opinion, in the South, we got spring, too, starting in March. So, you got three seasons here along the Gulf Coast you're hunting squirrels in. What do you like best?
Well, you know, I like – the transition from early season to late season goes through several changes.
Okay.
You know, you've got hot, humid, dry temperatures early in the season with a lot of leaves.
Okay.
It's hard to find the squirrels.
Right.
You typically don't – like I said, you're not going to kill them all with a dog anyway.
Right,
you know,
right,
you're
right.
Hunting for the fun of
– sure.
You know, having the dogs and seeing them work for the most part. But, you know, obviously, you know, somebody that likes to eat squirrels wants to kill them. So,
yes.
The early season, drier temperatures are harder on dogs sometimes to find and locate the game, just depending on conditions.
Right.
The leaves and, you know, heavy cover make it harder to find the squirrels.
Sure, a lot more area to hide for them to hide up in a tree with leaves on it.
Right. So, you know, if you take, like, the conditions we have now.
Right.
Wet, windy, the leaves are falling, all the acorns are hitting the ground.
You like that?
Well, yeah, this is kind of my, when the leaves first come off and the squirrels are having to search for food, because right now they don't have all their acorns stored in a den somewhere.
Right. So they're back to what you said, there's more time on the ground.
Typically this time of year they're out searching more.
Okay.
And storing up for the winter. We hadn't had a real hard winter yet. We've had a few cool snaps, but, you know, nothing like you and I experienced in Colorado.
That's right, yes. It makes sense. So the conditions you like to hunt are the conditions that lead to squirrels being on the ground for further distance and longer periods of time.
That gives the dog the best chance of finding the game and, you know, putting them up a tree where you can.
So the flip side of that is, okay, so early is not good. We're in this transitional period that's good. When we get into the depths of winter, we get January, we get February, okay? A lot of people, you know, don't even start thinking about squirrel hunting, which I think they're missing out. I was one of them. I'm changing my ways till February. They don't think about it till after they deer hunt.
Right.
But that's a completely different – those woods look completely different in February than they did in November.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like I said, the squirrels are putting their stash up for the winter now, and in February that's exactly what you have. They've got acorns, nuts, food stored in holes, dens.
So they don't have to come down as much?
No, they don't have to come down as much, and they typically don't, depending on the if it's just a cold, dreary day, mm-hmm. You know, the squirrels may not even come down. They don't have to. They may come down once in the morning and go straight back up and get in their den, you know, just – lay out on a limb all day.
Right, so this idea that a squirrel comes down and runs through the woods every day, no matter what, that's not
unfortunately, accurate. That doesn't happen, for us squirrel dog hunters. But, you know, that's back to what I said earlier, to have a complete dog. It takes time. I mean, you're not just going to run out there with a young dog and it just know how to do it all on its own. You have to, you know, it's just through
– exposing, I'm sure.
Yeah, exposure, repetition, with a young dog, short, frequent trips to the woods.
You know, short attention, almost like our kids. Short attention.
I mean, you want to keep their attention on what they're doing and focused. And once you can, you know, you have to be able to gauge a dog and his interest level to know when it's time to go home. But, and dogs are individuals just like anything else. So being able to read that animal and know what his limits are early on and what he's capable of long term.
Yeah.
I think is key to being successful in training and raising.
Developing that finished dog.
That's right.
Let's talk about this a few minutes before we go to the break, but I want to talk about the other side of this. You talk about squirrel hunters, you want to kill some squirrels to eat.
Right.
Let's talk about this. It's something that used to be, I think, fairly common here in the South, eating squirrels, but gosh, you go do a Facebook poll and see how many people eat squirrels anymore. That number's dwindled.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've lost a lot of that heritage that our grandfathers and grandmothers. My grandmother could cook, you know, the best fried squirrel around. Oh yeah.
So what happened? So I mean, because the taste didn't change.
No, I think as deer hunting has developed and become more commercialized, you know, people put more emphasis on that as a, you know, game species versus squirrel, and the squirrel's kind of been forgotten about in some cases. Now there is still a big following with the squirrel dogs and a lot of people that I know squirrel hunt, but I think, you know, overall and as a whole, the participation in the sport has dwindled.
Right. So let's talk about this as a man that is still well participating in the sport. Your favorite way? You said your grandmother fried them. What's your favorite squirrel recipe? If you had to come into your house tonight, what are we having, Ross?
Well, several ways that I enjoy them. Fried would be the most, probably that would be what we would start with.
Okay, good.
And, you know, depending on, you know, how many people we were having would be how many squirrels we needed.
That's right. That how many people were going to text and tell them to come over. Yes.
And how many people were going to eat squirrels.
Is it deep frying? Are we pan searing them? What are we pan frying them? What are we doing?
Well, I like a black iron skillet for frying squirrels. And, you know, there's several ways to prepare them, but what I've been doing more recently in the last few years, I'll go ahead and fry them first and then put them right over into my pressure cooker.
Okay.
Just a digital pressure cooker. Now, this is getting
a
little more high-tech.
Yeah, I
You're
like
going from
listen.
A black iron skillet to a pressure cooker now.
One from a hand in both worlds. I love it.
I'll fry up as many squirrels as we're going to have for supper and put them over in that pressure cooker with the steaming rack in and just put maybe a half inch of water in the bottom.
Okay.
Put the lid on, 20 minutes on steam, they'll fall off the bone.
So the frying gives them that color that we like when we're eating a squirrel, that fried color and that taste, but the tenderness comes from that pressure cooker.
Right. You know, you could parboil them ahead of time and then fry them, but I found that the meal sticks better and they just have a better overall quality if you fry them first and then
making me hungry. We're coming right back. More with Ross Odom. We're talking squirrel hunting, and hopefully this gets you as fired up as I am. We get out and chase some of those squirrels. Lots of opportunities for squirrel hunting on public lands right here in the state of Alabama. Heck, down here in southwest Alabama, we have, I'd say, probably 60,000 acres probably between southwest Alabama as a whole to go chase a squirrel. And then we'll go to Ross's house to fix them up and have them fry them for us. All right, coming right back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Mike's on assignment, chasing deer probably. He'll be back with us next week. A lot more to talk about there. Of course, we'll talk about the first couple days of duck season and getting ready for the second opening coming up next weekend. That's all on the show. But I have decided here during the news break, talking to my buddy Ross, that we're going to have to do this several more times. You're now stuck coming back talking squirrels with us more.
Sure.
Okay, good deal, because there's so much. It was that conversation we had in the truck that made me think, you know, squirrels, the number of ways you can hunt them, the number of places you can hunt them, the variety here is pretty cool.
We're just barely touching the surface talking
right.
about some of this stuff. I mean, you can get as in-depth on, you know, any of these one topics as you want to. It's just
which I like.
You know, which direction do you want to go?
Right,
you know?
And right now you're getting us excited, basic overview. But number one, we live in a good state for squirrels. Agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got, you know, a variety of habitat, a lengthy season, you know, long liberal seasons. You can kill eight a day for, you know, however many days it is from September to March.
Yes.
So like we talked about earlier, there are just so many opportunities to get, you know, even new people involved.
Right, even if they're not kids, if they're new hunters.
That's right.
Well, and you know, the one thing, too, that probably made a lot of people go, he likes to hunt in the afternoon. So if you're somebody that has somebody who's tentative about getting up early in the morning going hunting, that's fine. They can be lazy bones, sleep in a little bit, and hit the woods in the afternoon, still have
Absolutely.
A great hunt.
Absolutely.
You could even, you know, you have a big night out before, if during the holidays, have your Christmas party and get up the next day at some point and go chase squirrels. And like I said, there's so many acres of land here in southwest Alabama that hold squirrels because of those variety of habitats you talked about. You also talked about the dogs, and this sounds like anything with any dog, whether we're talking about bird dogs, retrievers, deer dogs, squirrel dogs, you can go down the rabbit hole with this. I'm sure it's competitive out there. We take anything to the competitive.
That's right. There's a whole circuit dedicated to, you know, squirrel dog hunting and competitions. You know, and they don't kill the game. They tree it. And,
right.
You know, score the tree and score the dogs, and that's how they award trophies or prize money. And, you know, some of those competitions can get, you know, pretty intense. There's a lot of money at stake for some of these higher-level competitive type.
Can you spill some beans? Because you told me like what some dogs had sold for that you'd heard.
Oh, I mean, there's the possibilities are. I mean, you know, when you get any time you get that,
there's $10,000 dogs, aren't there?
And double. You know, there's several. The more competition you add to something,
right?
You know, the higher
the money.
The money just keeps climbing. But you know, like we said earlier, you can take old farm dog that's been raised on the farm and go.
Right.
Enjoy the sport. But, you know, for some people that like to, you know, really see what a dog's capable of and some of these expert trainers out there, I mean, you know, they're testing themselves as much as they are the dog.
What if somebody wants – I mean, I think what you said first is best. If you're trying to get your feet wet in this and see what it's all about, if you have a dog that naturally is treeing squirrels around the farm or the backyard, or might try that dog. But if you move up, would you just Google squirrel dog? Where do you find more information on this?
Well, there's a wealth of information on the internet. You know, I mean, there's books, you know, I'm sure if you look around long enough,
you'll
find somebody that, you know, has or has had squirrel dogs in the past that can,
But you got enough people here, like, for if somebody's listening to us here. You know, we're covering Mobile, Baldwin counties, Pensacola to Pascagoula, that kind of area. Somebody goes on the internet, starts looking for information about squirrel dogs and all that. They can probably find somebody, what, within a couple hours of them that breeds, has dogs for sale?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no shortage of squirrel dogs for sale, basically. Okay. You know, and what I would recommend if somebody was looking to get into the sport, mm-hmm. most people, you know, want to start with a puppy and create that bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a novice squirrel hunter slash trainer,
right,
that may or may not be the best option depending on your facilities and, you know, the if you can let the dog run loose.
Yeah, do you have a place to put them on game?
Yeah, what your schedule is. If you know, if you work 5, 6, 7 days a week,
right,
you're not going to be able to take that dog out and give it enough time to train it. So, you know, for someone like that, they may be better suited to buy a started dog,
right,
one that's already treeing to some degree and knows what game is pursuing.
Well, one of those trainers trained me as well. When I get the dog, will they teach me how to handle that dog?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, most people,
because we need training too, if we're going to run,
interested in the sport, would give you as much information as you need to get started. I mean, I've never met anybody through dealing with squirrel dogs.
Dog people are that way, yeah. I think. Whether you're talking about retrievers, you're talking about deer dogs, you're talking about bird dogs, people.
Yeah, most share people info. Most people that fool with this sport are, you know, not in it for the money. They're doing it to, you know, continue the sport and, you know,
get more people involved.
Yeah, produce quality dogs. I mean, that's, you know, that's their, generally, I think, their goal.
All right. See, we leave it here on a cliffhanger, but it's okay because you're going to come back with us and talk more in the future.
Sure thing.
All right. That's my buddy Ross Odom talking squirrels. Hopefully, this fires you up as much as it does me and you get out and chase some squirrels around the woods. Got pictures, questions, anything about squirrel hunting? Send it to us on the Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065Outdoors. Do Prep Sports Report. They're on the way in next. Talk to y'all next week.